We've been talking about parenting imperatives. Parenting imperative number 16 is fun. Remember fun? How long has it been since you would say, we had a fun evening? Fun is the bomb that salves all the tension that our children face.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, going down this list of 30 imperatives of parenting, and you can hear any of the previous ones online at parentingonpurpose.org. But I guess today will be a fun show, right?
Every day with you is a fun show. Let me say first. You do know how to laugh. I think sometimes, though, here's what happens. We're fun in the workplace. We're fun every place else, and we get home and we're not fun anymore. In fact, all the laughing we do out there, because let's face it, the stress is different when you get home. Mm-hmm. We have the assumption that we get home and, wow, I just don't want to have to be energized when I get home. I don't want to have to be. I'm tired. I worked all day. I drove in traffic and blah, blah, blah. And I get home and I have to work so hard at getting laughter going and work so hard at fun. And one of your kids is always in a bad mood. And let me help you here. And you're going to hate this, but it's usually your female 12-year-old or whatever. Yes. And somebody said something to hurt her feelings and she's not beautiful and she's not this. And now dad wants to laugh and I don't want to laugh. I refuse to laugh. And dad wants to play a game tonight and games are silly and I don't want to play games and I just want to be in a bad mood.
So our girls are normal then.
Yes. Okay. Oh, I had that girl times whatever. Oh. She's awesome. She's awesome today. She's one of the most fun today. In fact, we were playing a game the other night and I had to say, Tori's on the other team. It's always girls against the guys at our house. And I had to say, you know what? I believe Tori's right. And a 12-year-old came back. She's 30 plus. And she said, can I have that again? Can you say that again? I believe Tori's right. And it was just, everybody burst out laughing. A little bit of the past hit the table right there. I think we're so busy. We're so busy shuttling them off and getting them there. And we want to say to ourselves, do you guys know what a great life you have? Because I take you everywhere and meet all the desires of your heart and sign you up for soccer and you got
guilt.
Yeah. And they don't know that they have a great life. It's performance, performance, performance. And we've said this before, but middle school and high school is the only time in your life where you're supposed to do every activity perfectly and best.
Right.
You get out and you don't have to do everything perfectly and best. But I think we've forgotten fun and we've forgotten what fun is and we end up hiring fun or renting fun or downloading fun and let somebody else stand in front of us and be the fun and something on a DVD is the fun or whatever it is or we go to fun and we leave the house and go to whatever it is that's supposed to be fun and these people that take vacations to fun farms or whatever it is where they all go do several things rather than having fun at home. And it's real simple. Fun isn't that hard, but my job has to be getting that one child who rebels against fun almost out loud says, I refuse to have fun tonight. Mm-hmm. Our job is to do whatever it takes to get them to laugh, and you've got to be very aggressive and very energized.
And bring it on, because you're not going to want to bring it on.
You have to decide, okay, my job tonight is one thing. I don't care who wins Trivial Pursuit, Pictionary, whatever it is we're playing. My one job is I will make that one child laugh before the night's over, and I know it's got to be at my expense and my loss.
Okay, but if you have the 12-year-old female, that's a challenge.
It is a challenge. And it is in their heart. Their part of the game is, I refuse to laugh. And so you got to use you, whatever it is of you. Me is, I have more fun demeaning me in these games and having temper tantrums and throwing a napkin and doing whatever and whatever it takes. The game for me is not the win on the board. Although, don't get me wrong, I go after it. The game for me is getting them paying attention. And let me just say that I'm not endorsing this approach, and no one else may want to do this. But in our world, if you're rolling dice in Monopoly and you roll a 5, everybody better pay attention and count that I went 5 spaces. Because part of the game is, what can dad get away with? Now, someone who is a whatever mom is saying, I think he just said cheating. Part of the game is count my spaces. If you're going to be blasé, I'm going to keep moving until I get to a space I want
now,
to.
Now, what is that teaching kids, though?
That's teaching pay attention.
We've done that, but just if someone lands in your spot and you didn't realize that's the card you had, they don't have to pay.
Yes.
We've done that. So we have the truth monopoly or the not-so-truth.
My children learned early on, they also learned this. If they put their money down by me and they don't pay attention, when you go to get more popcorn, you better take your money with you.
Oh man.
Oh, it's awesome.
Wow.
And again, everybody doesn't want to do this. And I will purposely get distracted so they can take my money. Whatever it is, I wanted them at an early age to be all in. And I don't know why we typically played guys against the girls. And guys always lost. And it was hilarious. But I just want to have fun. Can we have fun? And there's so many ways to have fun. It's not just games. There's other ways to have fun.
Well, what if you're really just not a fun person? You're not a funny person. You're more serious. You're introvert. Your husband or wife might be a little more fun.
Well, the one who is the lesser IQ Bob. Rosemary's high IQ, and she's hilarious. She's wonderful. But it's easier for Bob to be ridiculous. And, you know, even the night we had a Little House on the Prairie night, and we decided to figure out that you cannot use electricity in anything we do from Friday sun goes down to Saturday sun comes up type thing. And they were little, and it was hilarious. And we slept in sleeping bags, and I was a little uncomfortable. And you just couldn't, you know, if you're going to take a shower, it had to be cold water. And we cooked out on the grill, and it was absolutely a riot. And we were lighting candles and doing funny things with candles and making figures on the wall with the shadow of the candles and whatever it is, finding fun without spending money. Your children are desperate. Can we have fun without spending money? Because what's happened is my generation has raised your generation, and your generation was taught fun is spending money doing something rather than just having fun making something, rather than having fun and going to Albert's Appliances and buying a refrigerator box. I mean, getting them to give you from the back and setting the refrigerator box up in the house, in the family room, which in our little family room took the whole family room, and making it a fort and going in there. And one time we made it a car with a front seat and a back seat and cut the windows out like we were driving places. And it was absolutely stupid hilarious. It doesn't take money, and laughing. And then all of a sudden, you know, tipping the car over so the box tips over and everybody tips over with it, and everybody's screaming and laughing and making it a bumpy ride. Whatever it is, age appropriate. Choosing, you know, Rosemary making, and we never had any money when we were raising kids, Rosemary making all these funny little hors d'oeuvres, and we go down to the beach and have a picnic down there at the beach, eating dinner, sitting on the beach, choosing to have fun. You will always have the one that says, I don't want to do this. Do I have to do this? Yes, it's a family. We all have to. So you're going to make me play this game. Yes. In fact, you and I are on the same team. And just getting in her face and laughing.
What about teenagers then?
We did the same thing with teenagers. And if you wanted to have friends over and you know it was game night, they had to participate. It's kind of like somebody spends the night at our house, and even in the teenage years, you have to do what I do. And I remember one of mine saying, so-and-so's over at the house. That means we're going to have family devotions in the morning. Absolutely. And I'm getting all jacked up and energized about it. But you're going to have the one Eeyore in your house, the one who doesn't want to do this. And you cannot let them not do it because they're not a part of the family. We planned for several years. This was the ultimate fun that no one wanted to do when it came around to it, but I made them do it. We planned for years for my 25th anniversary at Sheridan House, for Sheridan House to let me go. They wanted to buy me something, and I said, let me go. And we took our Chevy Astro van and drove 12,200 miles around North America, which is halfway around the world, 24,000 miles around the world. We just drove around North America, primarily in the United States, a little in Canada, very little. Niagara Falls was basically it. We drove around and went all over the place and zigzagged across the country. Before that trip, my oldest said, I don't want to go. Do I have to go? And tried to beg her way out of it. And we're all in. We're all doing this. And so you're not going to let me stay at so-and-so's house. No, we're not. She would have missed one of the most amazing adventures of the things we did.
So you have to kind of drag them out sometimes.
I think you have to give them warning.
Kicking and screaming.
You have to give them warning. This Thursday night is game night. And so-and-so's picking the game this week. And then we're going to play the game. And they've had a little bit of warning, which means they're going to get a little bit moody. And then I get obnoxious. But you got to do your personality.
Right.
And we've pulled whatever names to pick the teams, and we are so going to trounce you guys. And I would be brutal, and Rosemary would be laughing, there's no Rosemary coming back at you. She's too sweet to be verbal back. And I mean, I'm brutal. I'm brutal that you and Tori are dead. I don't even know why you're showing, to which Tori would say, okay, then let's not. And I'm just nasty and fun, and they get to the table, and the youngest would be jacked, and Tori would be going through the motions, and then they start winning, and then I'm getting verbal, and I'm getting really verbal, and we're just laughing. And, you know, Roby loses and he's in a bad mood because he can't lose. And we're teaching him how to win, teaching him how to lose, teaching him how to have fun. When it's at my expense, it's the best.
Right. To the parents' expense.
Oh, especially dad's.
Well, in my house, it's usually me and I'm cool with that.
Yeah. But games are just one thing. I mean, making food together. mm-hmm. as a team is another hilarious thing.
What do you do then with tweens and teens who, you know, their bent is all friends. Life is about their friendships and all that
right.
stuff. And mom and dad are so not cool anymore.
Yeah.
They don't want that relationship with it, that, you know, and you just, I mean, it's kicking and screaming all the time.
Tori, all I want is Thursday night. All I want, I really want to be with you Thursday night. And this Thursday night was my turn, and I pick making food. And so you and I are making the food. Mom and Roby are picking the game. And so you got to help me make the food. I don't want to help make food. So you got to pick something, or we're only eating the meat. I'm picking the meat, and we're making it together or whatever. And getting them in and having fun and doing whatever. And the night that we, you know, it's our time to make the cookies or whatever, then we're making scratch cookies in any shape we can make them, and making them ridiculous shapes, and trying to explain what the shapes are that don't even look like the shapes, and we're dying laughing. Mm-hmm. It's our job. I mean, we have to make the sale. And what happens is parents have that child that doesn't want to, and they let that child rule.
Mm-hmm.
They let that child be the barometer for what we will. You know, forget it. I'm not doing this. This is a total waste of my time. And then the problem is also when the child doesn't say thank you, when the child at the end of the night and okay, we're done. It's 9 o'clock. Everybody up for showers and time to go to bed. And no one gets up and says, excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute? This was awesome. This was awesome. My brother and I are sitting at dinner with my dad. It was before my dad died. So I'm in my mid 50s and Steve is probably 50. And he's back. My dad's back in town here in South Florida and for a season. And we take him out to eat. And Steven and I are talking across the table of the great trip to Colorado. And my dad is just listening to this. And he stops us in mid-conversation and says, great trip to Colorado. You got to be kidding me.
it was a nightmare for him, I guess,
that's exactly
right?
What he said. Okay. That was the nightmare trip.
Oh,
driving from
gosh.
Washington, D.C. to Colorado with you complaining. Bobby, you just saying, put me on a bus and send me back. Let me stay at Eddie's house. I don't want to do this mm-hmm. anymore. And we drive out to see Grandma in Colorado. Well, his interpretation and ours, it was a phenomenal trip.
Wow.
We loved every bit of it. We had fun. We got to stay in a hotel. Never done that before. It was just a great trip. And my dad's recollection was he parked on our complaining rather than the things we got to do
mm-hmm.
and said, actually, you notice we never did that trip again? Ever. Because to him, it was a nightmare trip. To us, it was a life changer.
Mm.
And so I think what we as parents expect or want is we take the great trips to wherever, Colorado, and we pull in the driveway and we're done. And we expect one of the kids to come out and say, while we're unpacking the car, Dad, you mind if I talk to you for a minute? I want to thank you for the great trip to Colorado. It widened my geographical horizons.
Changed my life forever.
Changed my life, my social perspective, everything. It was just wonderful. Every day was wonderful. It was a life changer for me. So thank you for that. Could we do that ever again quickly? No. If your child actually does that, come and see me for help. That mm-hmm. child needs help.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the DNA, especially of your 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old, to be miserable all the time.
Yeah.
It's our assignment to attack the DNA. There's some kind of a virus on that DNA. It's called puberty and adolescence. And so we've got to take on the virus. We've got to get jacked. But what we end up doing is we let their dysfunction rule us and never mm-hmm. do that again. Cook things. Have fun with things. Be ridiculous with things. Make them laugh with things. And some of it will embarrass them in front of their friends. That's okay. And going to Baskin Robbins to get ice cream with my kids. And they always started laughing as we walk in the door because they know I'm going to do something absolutely ridiculous at Baskin Robbins. And that one kid that got used to us is already laughing because I'm in the door. I want him to mix up some flavors for me, which they don't do at Baskin Robbins. Just choosing, can we just have fun again? Because life is so stressful. It's stressful for our children. It's socially stressful. They don't laugh at school unless they're laughing at somebody
mm-hmm.
rather than laughing together as a team and a family.
Mm-hmm.
And they're terrified of being laughed at. And then over a period of time, they see dad being laughed at home and he actually brings it on. What's wrong with him?
Right, right.
And
he doesn't care.
He comes to the table in ridiculous outfits for these games and just like he's getting his game face going. And we already know in the time we're playing Monopoly and he puts the black chalk thing from a burnt cork underneath his eyes like it's a football game and he's in competition. What's the story with this? And trying to explain to their friends, you know, we're playing tonight and you know, my dad, I'm just preparing you for my dad. He is sort of all in, although he's all in on being ridiculous and he's not here to win the game. Although you'll think he's here to win the game. He is here to trick you. He is here to lull you into
careful.
Complacency. Yes. And all of a sudden everybody's cheering against me and everybody's laughing and everybody's giving property to mom. So she destroys dad. When mom doesn't care, she'll give everything away. She just wants everybody to be happy. And our kids need to see what's worth laughing at. It's
mm-hmm.
not laughing at someone else's mistake. It's laughing at having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Remember fun? We've got to choose to bring fun home and we've got to decide. That's part of what we do. Pick a family night, choose to have fun so your children can start the ointment of laughter again.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, as we go down this list of 30 imperatives of parenting. Today, finishing up number 16, talking about fun. And if you missed any part of today's or any of the other ones in the list, you can hear them and find them for free online at parentingonpurpose.org. To find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, you can go to shfm.org, find out about the children's homes, even give to support them there, or you can give with a two-letter text, sending the letters SH, short for Sheridan House, and sending it to 41518, and that'll give a one-time $10 donation to support the children's homes. And we hope you'll join us again tomorrow as we're covering these 30 imperatives of parenting, tomorrow touching on number 17 here on Parenting on Purpose.